We are just 24 hours plus 6 hours away.
Always do this wrong.
From the Dolphins. People don't say it that way.
You always do this wrong. You want to do the math beforehand.
24 hours plus 6 hours away.
This is just 30 hours.
Well, no one says that. No one says we're 30 hours away from something. You say we're 24 hours away from something.
I just want to say tomorrow.
We are 24 hours plus 6 hours and 12 minutes, if you want to be official, from the Dolphins taking the field at Hard Rock Stadium once again. The Tua rushing prop is live. Hmm. All right. I put the bet in yesterday. And if you super follow me on Twitter, you know that the prop is live. It is 4.5. Oh. Now remember my plan, and we both cashed tickets last Sunday. It was 2.5. I got it in at 2, over 2.5 yards rushing. You got 3.5. Ticket cashed. They've got them listed now at 4.5 for tomorrow night. Tua, over 4.5 yards rushing. I believe he's going to scramble. I think you're going to see Josh Allen scramble. Tua's going to go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen. Well, maybe not toe-to-toe.
Okay, I just hawk. Let's see.
What is his? Is like 36.5.
Yeah, let Tua get a couple first downs, man. We've been speaking about
it. I've put the bet in. It's my biggest bet in a long time. I have Tua over 4.5 yards rushing. We're going to have Rob Pizzola on today. Rob Pizzola, who I told you last week wasn't going to have time for our show because he's so busy this year. He has decided, out of the kindness of his heart, and because Solana's dad was so bad at this last week, Rob Pizzola has decided that he will grace us with his presence every Wednesday around 4:05. So I'm going to ask him about my Tua over on rushing theory, that it'll take the books a little while to catch up to the new Tua, because it's based on last year's numbers, as it should be.
Yep. And like I got scared last week. We went through this, I think, a couple years ago with somebody where those sack yards don't count against his rushing total.
Sack yards don't count.
Yes.
But kneel downs at the end do.
And I was worried because he got
sacked. So it's why you want, like, the over's 4.5. You really want him to get about 13, 14 yards rushing just in case he has to kneel down at the end and he's going to lose a couple yards each time that it happens.
That check last week was cashed at halftime.
It was great.
I looked at my.
No, I wasn't. I think it was the third quarter. Wasn't it the third quarter? Because he had a scramble that got called back. And then he had that scramble up the middle, which gave us the over. Wasn't it the third quarter, I think?
The actual scramble where it wasn't called back, the one that gave us the cash ticket, was in the second quarter.
Oh, was?
Because at halftime, I looked at my app and I was like, damn, I doubled my money.
I was shocked by that too, because I thought they wouldn't, cash the ticket, turn it green until the game was over, because you can lose yards rushing. But they cashed it. So, I felt the same way. I looked at it at halftime too. But anyway, it's in at 4.5, and I'm going to ride this. We'll ask Rob Pizzola today. He's going to join us. Zach Gelb is going to join us today from the Infinity Radio Network. We talk with him on Wednesdays about football. And yes, Eduardo Solana, Solana's dad, will continue to join us every week. It'll be on Wednesdays. He'll join us today. He went 1-3 last week. If you tailed his picks, you're homeless.
Homeless.
But I'm gonna shake it up a little for Eduardo. I'll give him the Dolphins game to pick, but then I'm giving him college games. I got to see if he knows college maybe better than NFL.
So Tua is the only person with a rushing total on the Dolphins.
Because we know, who is it? Devon Achane is going to play. Raheem Mostert is out. Or we think Devon Achane is going to play. We know Raheem Mostert is out.
I have the audio from Mike McDaniel, so if you guys want to hear it, we can get to it. But Raheem Mostert is out. Achane, McDaniel says, we'll see. Here is Mike McDaniel earlier today.
So just to address running back first, you expect to have Raheem and Devon on Thursday?
Raheem, no. Devon, We'll see how it plays out today. Thursday night games are probably the it probably should be your triggering point, Barry, because like
what's happening?
I mean, you got to realize what is today. Today is Wednesday, right? Okay, guys are just typically we don't even have when we do have padded practices, we don't even have them till Thursday, because typically after an NFL game, Wednesday, guys are still working through their ailments from the game previous. So there's several guys that will be feeling out and go from there.
What?
What was the question?
I don't know. I feel like I was listening to Donald from last night. We're talking about eating dogs.
I'm going to take that angle when my wife argues with me, because I didn't know what happened from the beginning, huh?
And then I just go, what day is it? What day? What day is it?
Dogs.
Yeah, there's no rushing props because we don't know who's going to be in the backfield.
Yeah.
I would guess Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to get some carries because he looked good on Sunday.
And then who else? Well, they got to bring up Chris. Who else? Like, what would be the back?
No, they got rid of Chris Brooks.
I don't think they signed him to the practice squad. Chris Brooks. Squad? I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't believe it.
It's that other dude. It's Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright. Okay, yeah, the young guy from Tennessee. Yeah. He has to be activated now. You can't go with two running backs. You got to put some more guys.
So he's on the 53, but he was inactive for Week 1.
Salman Ahmed is in town because Josh Appel was behind him today at Fresh Kitchen. Salvin.
Silent L.
Like Donald last night. Abdul. I'm blurting out Abdul. All right. Let's get headlines here. Start out today's program. Hey, we have a great giveaway. We're giving you a chance to win a photo and an autograph with Stanley Cup champions Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov. This is courtesy of Hollywood Collectibles. For your chance to win, we'll have a different code word each day for the rest of the week. Text the word Panthers to 20357. That's Panthers to 20357. If you don't win, you can purchase tickets at HollywoodCollectibles.com. Hollywood Collectibles, they're in Dania Beach. The signing is this Saturday, Hollywood Collectibles. But if you want to win the photo and the autograph, there are two good ones, Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov. Text Panthers to 20357. Let us get headlines. Start out today's show. It's brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Los Marlins are playing right now.
I'm watching it.
They're
kind of fun.
They're losing.
Back on TV, baby.
Damn, ESPN getting back on TV. Goodness gracious.
Well, do you have DirecTV?
What do I have, Solana?
Yeah, he has AT&T, which is partnered with DirecTV.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that it also affects AT&T. So you don't get ABC or ESPN.
There's no ESPN, but whatever I have, this AT&T, we have 8 ESPNs, and all of them are that black screen with this damn QR code on it. I'm not going to a QR code. Let me watch sports. Colin Cowherd, I'm not watching this dude.
So how does that work? Like, you just can't watch anything? Like, you can't even watch SportsCenter?
You go to 1602. 1603, 0405, 0607, because they got all the ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+, ESPN, blah, blah, blah. Everything is the same black screen, and it has a QR code, a big-ass QR code in the middle of the screen, because they want you to go and read up and do research.
I think the QR code might give you kind of an access to ESPN, the app, so that you can watch it, so that if you do want to see the games, I believe that it's a little bit of a workaround. I may be wrong. It be actually because it's got to be DirecTV that's putting that up. So it's not that. Yeah.
So yeah. What I believe the QR code is, and I don't have DirecTV, but I was at a sports bar for I think the FSU game when they were playing Boston College, and they had the QR code up there. And to me, it looked like a place where you could scan it, and it takes you to a website where you can like complain to ESPN.
Right, right.
For this being an issue.
Yeah, because it's DirecTV that's putting the QR code up because they own those channels. They're just not putting ESPN on them anymore. So they're trying to get you to pressure ESPN to come down on their demands. And ESPN is obviously trying to wait it out on DirecTV. But, you know, you got to make a decision.
So this is a cable Yelp that I'm about to get into. I'm going to Yelp ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. You're going to Yelp them.
This is foolishness.
It does suck, though, man. What is it, 3 weeks?
It's terrible.
Now. 3 weeks. You can't watch SportsCenter at night. You can't watch Monday Night Football.
Nothing. Like, I watch more NFL Network now in these last 3 weeks than I ever have because I just want to see a sport.
I've been watching Good Morning Football every morning over First Take and Get Up. I'm just kind of into it right now.
Akbar, it's good. Mia Miller.
Yes, he's good.
He is good.
They're all good. Kyle Brandt's getting a little cutesy. Everything with him is like, you know, it just seems like everything, he's trying to go viral. Everything is an analogy to a movie. Like, you know, sometimes just tell us who you think's going to win.
Fire Take.
Yeah. Not everything has to be, you know, you dressed up as Frogger and trying to, you know, get down the 405 in L.A. Like, sometimes you could just give a football take. Yeah. But they try.
It's crazy. They have imaging. He's dressed up and stuff. This is weird.
Yeah, he's like, he is so into it. Like, he's so into it.
I hope it's his contract year or something.
It's true, though, man. Like, everybody's just trying to do, like, content that can be clipped and posted to social media. See, that's why you listen to us, though. We'll give it to you how you want it. Straight football takes.
We don't dress it up. Mm-mm. We give you hardcore football takes. X's and O's. Talk about the O-line versus the D-line. Talk about a 3-4 defense versus a 4-3 defense. We'll leave the Q-bert and the waffles and all the hoo-ha to Good Morning Football and Kyle Brandt. You're a sports fan. You want a breakdown of what's going on in the games? We'll give it to you. I don't know the O-line or the D-line. I don't know a 3-4 versus a 4-3. And Crowder can't watch the games. He's got DirecTV. But we've got it for you every day, 2 till 6. Don't get it twisted.
Took me 15 minutes to find out who the Bills receivers were this morning.
I'm nervous about this JP Lossman because he always kills us.
One of my only NFL sacks were on JP Lossman. JP damn Lossman.
Don't forget about Willis McGahee in the backfield. I mean, that Bills rushing attack, bro. Yeah. Oh,
man, it hurt you so many ways.
All right, so the Marlins are losing. I see Crowder's repping his Marlins lid, though.
Yeah, good lid. Yeah. Oh, look at me.
Oh.
Look at there. Throw back.
Because we're huge Marlins fans on this show. We're both wearing Marlins caps. We're going to break it down today, too. Because we do sports. Huh? We do you, sports. Kyle Brandt's wearing, you know, he's wearing a Power Rangers costume. Well, we're wearing Marlins hats.
Mona Lisa the other day, I think. This old Marlins hat didn't play well in L.A., though, fellas.
No.
Man, them Dodger fans are nasty.
I got a lot on the line.
All right, so where do you guys want to go here? I mean, obviously tomorrow the Dolphins play the Bills. We know about Raheem Mostert being out. We know Devon Achane will be a game-time decision. Tyreek Hill spoke to the media today. And he was obviously asked about the body cam footage. And now that we're several hours removed from the incident, his thoughts that he's been able to kind of marinate on everything. I don't know if you guys want to get into that. I'll have the audio shortly. We can perhaps play it later.
He said, to encapsulate, he said essentially he could have done stuff differently, but also he believes the overly aggressive cop should be fired. And that's it's an adult attitude to have. It was like I said yesterday. Listen, he's not an angel. I think we all know that. Tyreek Hill's not an angel. But, you know, I don't want to relitigate it. He complied. He got pulled over. He pulled over. He didn't make them chase him. They asked for his license. He gave them his license. I got pulled over in downtown Boca a couple years ago. I gave my license to the cop, and I rolled my window up. It's hot out. He was having pictures taken of him by people. He wanted to have pictures taken. Like, it's not uncommon to roll your window up. But then this overly aggressive cop wanted to get into a pissing match. Mm-hmm. I can make you roll your window down. Didn't need to.
Nope.
But I can make you roll your window down. And, you know, he's like, I gave you my license. Write me the ticket. We've all been in that situation. Write me the ticket. I don't have to be thankful that you're giving me a ticket. I'm cooperating, but I don't have to thank you for it.
And the speeding is not a reason to be that aggressive. Speeding tickets are given out thousands a day.
Correct.
If they said a black Lamborghini has left a scene of a crime where two people were shot.
Bingo.
I understand him acting that way. I'm sitting there under the bridge because it's hot as hell outside. That's why he's under the bridge. Tyreek speeds past. You run up, and that's the approach of a human being that you're trying to give a careless driving ticket
to? Right, a traffic ticket.
Why are you so upset? Why are you so aggressive? I'm with you, Hawk. It was very grown up. Should I not have rolled my window up? I do the same thing. I was out there. It was 98 degrees outside. I wouldn't want to sit there with my damn window down. But I didn't do something that warranted you to be so scared that now you're panicking because I put my window up on a 98 degree day while you go back and write this long ass ticket where it has to have the little pink slip pulled out the back. I've had plenty of parking tickets. That's not a parking ticket stop. That's a attempted murder stop.
Exactly what you just said. Yeah, that's over. Like when you're in pursuit of something that's criminal. So it's a traffic infraction. He's trying to get to work. If I get a ticket and I'm trying to get to work, I'm pissed that you stopped me. You can have my license. I'm not going to hug you.
Miami Shore cops, whenever we go to the station, you know I'm always there last second. You might catch me on 2nd Avenue going a little bit over because I am rushing to get there by 2. I don't need to be dragged out and thrown on the ground. Like it was so overboard. I like how Drew Rosenhaus, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of Drew. I don't like how he's dealt with, and I like how Tyreek's dealing with this thing. But it was a butt-white cop that made the other. And even we all watch hours of this crap now. You see the other cop, some other cops kind of sitting around, you know.
They know this isn't warranted, but they got to back up their fellow cops.
They're not jumping in and diving in. It was two cops. I don't know why they felt the way they felt. People want to blame it on the damn Copa America, whatever that damn soccer game is. These were two cops that have power trips going on that want to go and tell each other later on while they're drinking a beer off duty. Oh, yeah, I put Tyreek Hill's ass on the ground. Man, get out of here. That's not a badge of honor.
Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald tweeted out, Tyreek Hill in his ongoing press conference today said, I could have been better. I could have let down my window in that instance. He said he didn't want cameras and phones on him in that moment, quote, but I've got to follow the rules and do what everyone else will do. Did that give them the right to literally beat the dog out of me? Absolutely not. I wish I could go back and do things a bit differently.
Yeah.
And again, it's a very adult attitude to have.
And you saw on the video, Tyreek called his agent, which I would have done the same thing. Because when they threw the phone on the ground, he was like, Drew, I'm getting arrested. Drew, he's talking to Drew Rosenhaus. Hey, I'm outside of Dolphin Stadium about to get locked up. Let me call somebody that I think's powerful enough to help this situation. Tyreek did nothing wrong, man. Come on.
And if it wasn't obvious that they were being overzealous with Tyreek Hill, look how they reacted with Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith, everybody else, because nobody else approached them in any sort of, you know, disrespectful way.
Aggressive manner.
Correct. They were just trying to figure out what was going on.
It seemed like everyone wanted to de-escalate except that one cop.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what Calais said. That's what John New said. Whose car is this? It's my car. That's my teammate, Tyreek. I'm like, he's trying to be, you know, he's trying to have a grown-up conversation with another grown-up that is on some power trip. Like, this cop is the problem. Not cops are the problem. This cop was the problem. The video shows it beautifully.
All right, guys. So tomorrow, 8:15, will be kickoff here at Hard Rock Stadium. Just to close out headlines, Crowder, yesterday, Hawk and I kind of touched on it a little bit, but the Steelers are planning to start Justin Fields instead of Russell Wilson for week two.
Actually, you know what's funny? Zach Gelb is joining us in the next segment. I saw that he had a take on the radio yesterday that Russell Wilson should retire. I'm not even kidding you. That he's just like, you know what? It's time to walk away. Like you got to read the tea leaves.
Yeah. No, he's injured.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know what? I became a dude just trying to make it sound good. Denver owes him so much damn money this year that he needs to play to get that 20 plus million that they owe him. Even being on the team, standing there with shoulder pads on and the clipboard, he's going to make 20 something million dollars this season.
All right, guys, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It's another day filled with rain, especially in Miami. So drive safely, everybody.
All right, Zach Gelb, the Infinity Sports Network. He joins us. Talk a little football next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I died on Saturday night one time, played Sunday.
Hawk and Crowder.
Zach Gelb is joining us as he does on Wednesdays on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Zach Gelb can be heard nationally every afternoon on the Infinity Sports Network. And by the way, before we talk football, I remind you, if you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch this season, check out Caneswear in Davie. They're on University Drive next to La Spada's, or you can check them out online at caneswear.com. A little Thursday night football tomorrow, Hard Rock Stadium, Buffalo Bills in town. Gelb, before we get to a myriad of topics, what do you think about tomorrow night's matchup? Both teams 1-0. Both teams had to come from behind on Sunday to win. Do you have any strong feeling either way on tomorrow night's game?
Yeah, I think this is a statement game early on in the season for the Miami Dolphins. And I know that they're not going to have Raheem Mostert in the game. We don't know how healthy Devon Achane's going to be, but this Buffalo offense is a work in progress where it's basically just Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. So with Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa and that automatic connection, this is a game that I think is more important for the Dolphins rather than the Bills, especially as we know last year, the Bills were down and out for most of the year in the AFC East, and they still found a way to win the division. So I think it's a huge game for the Dolphins on Thursday.
And Gelby, was the Dolphins' second half offense their offense? Because the Bills had a slow start too. A lot of teams had slow starts with, you know, we've talked about it, the damn preseason and all that stuff. But do you believe the second half when they went out there and started throwing 60 and 80 yard touchdowns, that's their true offense? Or do you think it's still gonna sputter a little bit?
I think you saw more of what the Dolphins should look like in the second half. And I think it was Javon Holland who made a really good play up against Travis Etienne. But let's be real. I kind of look back at that game as it's more so the Jaguars lost it than the Dolphins won it, especially where that game was moving. If he just holds on to the football, that game is over and the Jaguars would have won. So, hey, the Dolphins, they take it. You're 1-0. It only matters what your record is in this league. But I didn't walk away feeling all that great about the Dolphins, if I'm being honest.
Interesting. Did we walk away from Sunday feeling all that great, Crowder? Like, I kind of feel like we may have a different approach to it because they did face adversity in the first half. Anthony Weaver obviously made some defensive adjustments to shut down Trevor Lawrence. And the Dolphins were able to show some mettle that maybe they weren't able to show last season when they would go down. So I think, Crowder, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe like I think we felt differently after Sunday than Gelb did.
Oh, no, 100%. I felt as if they came out slow. Anthony Weaver had to figure it out. The second half, they choked out Trevor Lawrence. And Gail, with the Javon Holland punch out, if my mom and dad didn't go to dinner that night 9 months before December 2nd, 1983, I don't know if I'd be around. So players make plays, and my dad made a play on that dinner night.
Okay, but let's be real. Your dad, when he was making that play, he wasn't supposed to have to go through all this adversity. He was supposed to be a five-star restaurant, tremendous meal, like you were going to Joe's Stone Crabs, for crying out loud. Remember, I said plus the points with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the game outright, and the three of you, well, actually two of you knuckleheads, first time Solana's not in that conversation when I say that on this show, you all thought I was an idiot, and you all thought that the Dolphins were going to blow out the Jaguars. So let's stop acting like this is some great victory for the Miami Dolphins. They sucked in the first half.
They did. They did. I'll agree with you on that, and I may have sounded a little more aggressive or confident on the air than I actually was, because I bought the line down from 3.5 to 3. So I think if I really thought they were going to blow them out, I probably would have given them the hook, which would have given me a loss, by the way. Yeah, but it was ended up being a good gambling move on my part. What about Tua? So he leads the league in passing yards, one game, understood. If he and the Dolphins handle Buffalo tomorrow, is the national narrative on the Dolphins and Tua completely different? Do they wipe out a lot of the doubts if they start the season 2-0 and it includes a primetime victory over Josh Allen and the Bills?
I would say no, just because it comes down to, can they win a playoff game? Like, I think everyone acknowledges the Dolphins are a good team. The Dolphins have a really good offense, but there's a difference in being really good and great. Like, this is a game, if the Dolphins don't win it, they will get slammed. But if they win it, I think that's something with this group where they are at right now with this roster and how the Bills are still trying to figure things out, it should be expected. So I'm not going to sit here and throw bouquets at the Dolphins on September 12th for winning a game at home, even though it's a big one up against the Buffalo Bills. But this is one that, if this team is supposed to be as great as Crowder and Hockman claim that they should be, then you better win this game.
And Gail, is that answer, because a lot of people are saying it, and I know, you know, you're up in New York and I know you follow Buffalo, is it don't let Josh Allen run, don't let him beat you with his legs, keep him in the pocket, you know, keep him there, make his limited weapons, I'll call them, because he lost Stephon Diggs and all those guys. Is that the answer to the Bills? Limit his weapons? I mean, let him throw to the limited weapons and not let him just go crazy on you? Because that's what happened in Arizona.
Yeah, don't let him turn garbage into gold. Keep him in the pocket. And once he puts on that Superman cape and starts running around, he is the best player on the field, in my opinion, on this one. So that's going to be the biggest key. And I got to think that Dalton Kincaid, who's going to be a big part of that offense, is going to have a bounce back game here in week two on Thursday.
Hey, Gail, before the season, you said you have the Bills atop the AFC East, Jets second, Dolphins third, but you'd be fine with any of those combinations. Like, you didn't feel that there was a clear leader. You're saying the Dolphins didn't win the game. The Jaguars blew it, and you expect more from the Buffalo Bills. What about the Jets? Do you feel like the Dolphins, just after week one, I know it's early, leapfrogged at least the Jets? They've kind of distanced themselves from the Jets.
Yeah, I think we have to look at the opponent. I walked away from that Jets 49ers game not saying that the Jets are overrated. It is me saying that the 49ers are just that damn good. Like, they had McCaffrey out, and no one knew who Jordan Mason was before the game, and he put up 150. What I will say, and I've been saying this all offseason long, the Jet fan and the Jet player will tell you their defense is the 85 Bears, the early 2000 Ravens, the LOB Seahawks, the Steel Curtain Steelers. I said, guys, you have a good defense, not a great defense. And that was on display on Monday night. I thought that was the biggest takeaway offensively for the Jets. I think you see the pieces, and they didn't have the ball enough. But what Rodgers does before the snap, the connection on third down to Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall is a good running back in this league. He just picked a horrible time to play one of the worst games he's ever played in his career. So I think the Jets will be fine. I think the Jets are like a 10, maybe 11 win team that could be a wild card team. But once again, it does feel like splitting hairs with the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills. And that's why this game on Thursday is so big for the Dolphins, because the Bills are figuring things out. The Jets are figuring things out. The Dolphins are pretty much the same as last year. I know no Mostert in the game, which is a lot of touchdowns from a year ago, But this Dolphins team, this is a – it's all about timing. Crowder knows this in the NFL. And it's a good time to get the Buffalo Bills, and it's a good time for the Dolphins to flex some muscles here in week two.
Just want to point out, I had Breece Hall over 29.5 receiving yards. He ended with 39. Nice little dub. I like to consider myself on a bit of a heater.
Can I tell you my most degenerate tweet of all time when it comes to gambling?
Sure.
Back in March, when you had the whole Rodgers and RFK Jr. president, vice president ticket that was getting thrown out there, I tweeted out, just as long as Aaron Rodgers is in vice president of the United States, he will throw a touchdown pass to Alan Lazard. And this was back in March. I'm hammering an Alan Lazard anytime touchdown. Plus 550, baby. It was a good Monday night.
That pass was so beautiful. That was on the free play. That pass was so beautiful that I was like, oh my God, this guy, like, you still see some things from Aaron Rodgers where you're like, holy hell, that was a dime.
I'm not a Jet fan. It was the loudest I've ever screamed watching a Jet game. I'll tell you that.
I
was going to say, I'm a little worried about A-Rod, though. He wasn't moving at all. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but he did not step out of that pocket.
He hasn't been able to move in several years, though, has he?
10-11, Gelby, I don't know about 10-11 with the Jets, because if you get him to move, I don't think he can be as accurate as he used to be.
So in my ears, all I heard were noises there. The internet was clearly lagging. So all I heard
at
the
end was
Crowder saying 10 or 11 wins, and I could tell – yes, I can hear you now. I was on a big delay there.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to have you back. Let me go around the league then with Zach Gelb, because as long as we're talking about the Jets, let's talk about another quarterback, Russell Wilson. Did I see you suggest that Russell Wilson should just retire, call it a career?
Yeah, it's getting sad at this point. Like, not right now. I'm saying at the end of this season. This guy used to be a surefire Hall of Famer, and then he didn't like anymore in Seattle, so he goes to Denver. That blew up in his face, and now he's in Pittsburgh, where he didn't really win the job, but they gave him the job, and now he's banged up. I think if he keeps on playing and, you know, he eventually gets his job back at some point this year, it's not going to be wonderful. And if he keeps on chasing those great days, I really do believe he's going to play himself out of the Hall of Fame. Let's just end this, and you hope that in 5-6 years from now, people forget about these last 3 years because they were a disaster.
But Gelby, should they, when he gets healthy, and we don't know, you know, exactly how hurt he is, whatever. We don't know if this is, because Mike Tomlin's not a dumb dude. He knows how to play the media game and all that. Should they start him? Because my whole thing is, if Justin Fields is the future, play him, build your offense around him, and run him like he's your number one. I would tell you, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are two totally different style of quarterbacks. So why would you play? To your point, why would you play around with Russell if Justin's the future?
I don't know if Justin is the future, but right now Justin Fields has a great NFL opportunity to keep that job with the Steelers. Like, I know the wording was weird, but they're planning on playing Justin Fields and they're going to monitor Russell Wilson. If Justin Fields goes into Denver, plays well, and they win the game and they start the year off 2-0, there's no way that you put Russell Wilson, even if he's healthy, back under center for week three. So I truly think this is week to week. I personally believe that Justin Fields at this stage of their careers has the higher upside. So I would rock and roll with the young guy rather than the old and somewhat decrepit now, Russell Wilson.
How about another quarterback? I'm fascinated with this story. I am just fascinated with the entire Carolina Panthers situation from last season to now. Is there any salvaging what they've put together there in Carolina? Is Bryce Young? I think Crowder and I were talking about a couple of days ago. Like, I just think he's too small, and I think that's going to end up, he's going to get hurt. Like, it almost seems inevitable. Can they salvage anything there, or is it just an unmitigated disaster?
I actually plussed them with the 4 points, and that was the quickest I've ever lost a bet going back to week one. It was over in a snap of a finger. That team, I know they suck. Like, I've done a weekly on WFNZ for the last 3-4 years. That team is horrible. The only good news, if you're a Panthers fan, is you have your number one overall pick, your first round pick this year, which you didn't have last year because of the whole trade with the Bears. So you're going to be the number one overall pick. I think what they should do, because there's no like transcendent quarterback this year, you run it back with one more year, make or break for Bryce Young, and then you trade back in the draft and you try to accumulate a bunch of future assets. Because that roster, and they lost Derek Brown for the season, who maybe is their best player, that roster needs a lot of work. And I don't think you just plug any quarterback in there and all of a sudden they start to turn it around.
I'm talking about trash, the Bengals.
Yeah, and how about those Patriots? You guys afraid in Miami? America's worst nightmare. They're back 1-0, baby.
Jacoby Brissett walks in anywhere, I'm not scared. I don't care where, what we're doing, what we're playing. But the Bengals, though, and then the Browns as well. Like, my whole thing, AFC North is supposed to be this powerhouse. Who's coming out? They might have three teams in the playoffs. After week one, I don't know if the Browns or Bengals are going to win too many games. They look like under 500 teams to me.
So the Bengals, they do this every year. Here's my concern now. There's contract issues. And Christian Gonzalez is a heck of a defensive back. But he should not be locking down, even as good as I think he's going to be, Ja'Marr Chase for the entire game. So there is some concern with the Bengals. We'll see. They could quiet everyone with a big win this weekend up against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns, they are the victim of Deshaun Watson. But now the Browns have made their bed. Now they need to lie in it. And who knows with the new allegation that is out there. Maybe they could try to find a way to get out of this contract. But that dude is shot because – you look at it on the field. The last time he was really good slash great was 2020. 2021 missed the entire year. 2022 was suspended for most of the year. 2023 got hurt. He is now chasing what he once was. And there were just looks during the game of him where he had a blank stare and he had no clue what hit him. I think Deshaun Watson is done. He's finished. He stinks. And the Browns now have him under contract, fully guaranteed for three more years. He is terrible.
Real quick, because we're going to run out of time. Was the best thing that you saw on Sunday the Anthony Richardson 60-yard touchdown pass?
Yeah, I would say so, even though it came in a loss. But I don't know even when he's falling back how you make that throw for basically 70 yards. I was also impressed with Jim Harbaugh because I don't think that Chargers team is all that good. I know the Raiders stink, but Joe Alt looked phenomenal up against Max Crosby. So those are some of the more impressive things that I did see from this past weekend. And, of course, that Patriots team that I thought was going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and now they're 1-0, scaring you all.
Go Gators.
Just to follow up on Hawk, if that was the best thing you saw, was Will Levis's pass or flip or whatever the hell you want to call it, was that the worst thing, not week one that you've seen, that you've ever seen in the NFL?
You saw two Carson Wentz type of plays. Gardner Minshew had a terrible one, and then Will Levis, too. Those were Wentzian bad.
Zach Gelb, the Infinity Sports Network. He joins us on Wednesdays. We appreciate your time, Gelby.
Thank you, guys. Be well. And let's see if the Dolphins could take care of business this week.
You keep saying or whatever, but you didn't really pick a side. I said
I'm picking the Dolphins. I'm picking the Dolphins.
Oh, you are picking the Dolphins. Okay. Yeah. Laying the points? Laying 2.5?
Sure. Why not? Okay. You know, that's like a little small spread there. That's always difficult. Yeah. I will lay the 2.5 points and see Dolphins fans. I finally pick your team once. So don't tell me that I'm a hater of your ball club.
Well, everybody's already texted that in that you stink. You're a hater. Why do we have you?
I also look like, I am like sitting underneath a halo today. So maybe I'm going to go right up to heaven after this.
Interesting studio you picked for today's backdrop, not the typical WFAN studios.
It looks like the Dolphins in the first half up against the Jaguars. Crap. See you all, guys.
Those are halogen lights. Goodness.
Zach Gelb there from the Infinity Sports Network. I should probably remind everybody that we have this great giveaway. We have a chance for you to win a photo op and an autograph with Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov, and it's courtesy of Hollywood Collectibles. Today's code word is Panthers. So text the word Panthers to 20357. If you don't win, you can purchase tickets for the meet and greet at Hollywood Collectibles. It's this Saturday, by the way, in Dania Beach. And again, it's going to be Barky and Dmitry Kulikov. You can get tickets at HollywoodCollectibles.com, but you can win a photo and an autograph if you text the word Panthers to 20357. Take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
There's no losing. Only learning. There's no failure, only opportunities. And there's no problems, only solutions.
Hawk and Crowder.